Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a dark and early but fortunately dry morning in Vancouver. I have the pleasure of talking with Derek Branson, who's a PhD student at Maastricht University. And I understand this is the first paper coming out of his PhD. It'll be published in the March 2020 issue of Medical Education. And the title is Beyond the Self, The Role of Co-Regulation in Medical Students' Self-Regulatory Learning. Thank you very much for being here. You have a lot on the go at the moment.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, Kevin. I'm excited to have this talk with you.
Me too. It's a very interesting and I think important piece of work, and all the more impressive to learn that it's your first study coming out of your PhD. So it appears you're off to a rousing start. So let's jump right to the topic of self-regulatory learning. This is something that I think most of our listeners will be familiar with at this stage. The idea that health professionals have to learn to be self-regulating is fairly well established, with lots of research going into trying to understand those processes. What was it about the concept that you thought was underdeveloped and deserving, therefore, of something as intense as PhD studies?
Yeah. Well, first, diving into that large body of literature, as you said, it's a well-researched domain, and I'm mostly intrigued by how it's affected or influenced by all kinds of social interactions. So that was the starting point of this PhD, was kind of my interest in how do social interactions give rise to such complex concepts or skills within self-regulated learning. And diving into the literature, I found that there was a steady gaining of momentum in the realization that it's very context dependent and socially derived. So then we started looking for, okay, how can we add to this body of literature, and found out that maybe the less researched domain within self-regulated learning within clinical context was how actually students who are new to the environment develop such skills. So we try to, throughout the thesis, keep a very explicit focus on the developmental aspects of self-regulated learning and how it's influenced by social interactions and conversations with others in the workplace setting. So that was the basis for this project in general and this first study in specific.
Well, and I've often thought that in health professions, we put so much emphasis on the self in our labels of such things that it becomes a bit of a misnomer and misleading in terms of leading people to believe that these processes are truly happening independently. But you mentioned another aspect of this work that I'll ask you to elaborate a little bit on, which is the environment in which you chose to study self-regulated and co-regulated learning. I know it was a clinical environment, but can you say more about the sorts of interactions that you were particularly interested in studying?
Yeah, so we focused on medical students who are in their clinical training part of undergraduate medical education. So they first studied for 3 years, which was predominantly theoretically based, so studying from books and literature, and then they make this transition to go into these clerkships. And we put work into equipping them with the tools to self-regulate that learning. So they go into clinical clerkships and then they have to engage in healthcare tasks and they have to participate there. And then we expect them to self-regulate their learning, which is often quite challenging because the environment is new, the people with whom they work are new to them, so they need some time in adjusting to that environment, which makes it a particularly interesting environment to study these self-regulated learning principles in, because they need these other people in the environment to really shape their own learning and to find out, okay, how can I match learning opportunities with the learning goals I have formulated for myself. We thought this was a very interesting part within medical education, but also a very important part within the program to study these principles.
Certainly an important transition stage, and I gather that's what you were observing was a number of shifts in the way in which students were engaging in these types of behaviors. But just before we get to that, let me ask a bit about your methodology, which I know to be constructivist grounded theory. What sorts of things does one ask of students, though, if they're trying to get a sense of how co-regulated learning is taking place in that environment?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it was hard. It was difficult to engage students in these conversations. So we first structured the interview guide in a couple of parts. So we first wanted to know what self-regulated learning meant to them, how they went about it, but we found out that it were quite abstract terms for students to talk about, so we had to really come up with ways to find out how they would regulate their learning. And we asked them about how do you decide what you want to learn, and questions that were derivatives of self-regulated learning. So the first part was about the self component of regulation of learning. So how do you work with your goals? How do you make sure you attain goals? And then the second part was more about, okay, how do you engage others when you run into problems or you need some help? Who do you go to? What do they help you with? But within that same component of the interview guide, we focused also on, do you get help from others? Do others engage you in conversations about your learning goals or your strategies? So that way we're able to get an idea of how they themselves engage others, but also how they were engaged by others in the environment with regard to learning goals, strategies, self-reflection. And then the last component of the interview for the students who were further along in the medical program, a heavy emphasis was placed on the way you handle these things and who you look up for help. Do you feel that this has changed over the course of your clerkships, and where does this change reside in, and how did that change come about? So this way we tried to get an idea of perceptions of self-regulated learning, their perceptions of co-regulated learning, so these social interactions regarding self-regulation, but also how that developed over the course of clerkships.
Well, and in the brief time we have together today, I want to focus on that last aspect, the change that takes place. As I alluded to before, you noted three interrelated shifts, you called them, in terms of how people adjusted their learning behaviors in this context. Do you mind describing those and explaining why you thought they were particularly worth highlighting?
Yeah, I think these shifts, as you said, are very interrelated. If I were to have the chance to write this article again, I would aim to even more emphasize that interrelation between these shifts, because one of those shifts is about co-regulation partners, so to speak, where at the start of the program, students would mainly interact with peers to create a frame of reference, just in first instance, what was expected from them and what learning goals should they formulate and try to pursue. And then over the course of clerkship, when they were more experienced with dealing with this learning environment and they knew what was expected of them, peers were still important, but they would shift their co-regulation partners towards mainly residents and attending physicians. And then they also regulated different parts of their learning, mostly self-reflection. So that's the first shift. They shifted from peers to, we call them clinical role models. And that's then related to the second shift, which relates more to the external or internal drivers for regulation. So at the start of the program, they were externally regulated, so to speak, using portfolio requirements or just direct advice or directions from supervisors. And then again, through participation in healthcare tasks and a better understanding of the learning environment, they knew better what they wanted to learn. So they were able to think about their professional identities and then regulate accordingly. So they were better able to focus on internal drivers or intrinsic cues and motivation, and that subsequently drove their regulation and with learning goals and self-reflection reflecting that shift. And as a last shift we felt was worth mentioning is also again related to the first and the second shift, which is a shift that it seemed that at the start of medical training, students were highly focused on very clearly and task-specific learning goals. So they wanted to close a wound, or if they wanted to, very specific tasks. And then again, through participation and reflection of the type of doctor they wanted to become, they were better able to regulate again according to that firmer understanding of themselves and the environment. And then you notice that the learning goals, as well as the reflection on those learning goals, were broader and more comprehensive and focusing on professional identity and professional competence. And that really led us to think about how self-regulated learning and co-regulated learning are related. That development of self-regulation is mostly, or even to a large extent, is reflected by development in co-regulated learning. So this development in self and co-regulated learning, they seem highly reciprocal, in that development in one is actually a development in the other. And being better able to self-regulate your learning lets students to be better able to actively engage others in the regulation of their learning, co-regulated learning, so to speak, which then led to further enhancement of the self-regulated learning skills. So they seem to be highly reciprocal.
And so what do these findings mean to you in terms of whether or not there's anything that we as educators could do differently or better to facilitate that transition that you're describing as students become clinicians in their own right, and particularly as they start to take on their own professional identity? Is this a process that you perceive to be happening quite naturally and effectively, or do you think there's some cause for us to intervene?
I think there might be some work to do or some tweaking when we look at the preclinical part of undergraduate medical education, where preparing students to go into clerkships and training students in self-regulated learning, there still seems to be a large emphasis on this independent, autonomous skill proficiency. So we train them in how do you formulate realistic learning goals, which is mostly done by themselves. And of course, they have some meetings and they have some feedback-seeking behavior trainings, but I think we could really capitalize on that and not only train them in these goal-setting skills and self-reflection skills, but maybe even more importantly, also train them or make them aware of the relevance and importance of being able to actively engage others in these processes. So being able to engage others in learning conversations. So we might want to rethink where we put the emphasis on training the self-regulators of the future and placing more emphasis on engaging others, which at least seems to be equally important as the independent self part. So that's one thing we could maybe rethink from an educational perspective. From a more broader perspective, we could still rethink how long students are able to spend time within one workplace, because it seems that when students feel comfortable and at ease and familiar with the learning opportunities and the learning environment in general, they seem to be better able to regulate learning and also to actively engage others in their learning. And now there's still quite short block rotation. So I remember participants say that once they got the hang of it, they were just picked up and put into a different environment, and they have to learn all over again how things worked, who to go to. So we might want to rethink how long we allow students to spend in one place. So that are two things that I think are important, and I think there are other things that could contribute to enabling students to better or to improve their self-regulated learning through social interactions with others.
Excellent. And the discussion section of your paper does make it very clear that there are a number of implications that should be considered from findings. And without having time to go into all the details, I think it best that we direct anybody listening who's interested back to that article. The title is Beyond the Self, The Role of Co-Regulation in Medical Students' Self-Regulatory Learning. You'll find it in the March 2020 issue of Medical Education. And I don't think we'll get into a lot of further directions at this point, because as you heard at the start, Derek Branson, the first author on this work, is in the early stages of a PhD. And so we'll see much more roll out in the literature in the near future, I'm sure. Thanks, Derek, for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin, for this opportunity. Thank you very much.